Glad to have you at the Promised Land today. Happy Labor Day weekend. You made it to church on Labor Day, and man, I have missed seeing you. We missed you last Sunday. How many of you were able to join us online? You weren't in person, but you were able to click in. Thank you for joining us online. We calculated somewhere around 500 different computers, laptops, phones, or whatever that either watch this live or watch the archive version of that service. So, man, we hated to have to cancel the gathering here, but on Saturday afternoon, we just weren't sure if the rain was going to continue, if the bridges would be out and all that kind of thing. So we just decided to make it safe for everybody and let you go to church in your pajamas. How about that? So thank you for joining us. And we have some people joining us in their pajamas today, right now, online, Facebook, psmchurch.com. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Maybe you're at work or on vacation, Labor Day, whatever. We're glad that you are able to join us online. Let's give them a hand right now and welcome them into our service today. It takes a village. The sermon series we're in right now, it takes a village. This is an African proverb. You probably have heard this phrase before. Very well known, typically associated with raising kids. It takes a village to raise a kid. Well, this concept is all throughout the New Testament. And it doesn't say it in that exact phrase, but I want to show you some scriptures today where it talks about this concept of it takes a village. And for those of you that were here a couple weeks ago and you were able to watch online last week, this is the concept that we've been talking about for 3 weeks now. It takes a village. And maybe you haven't grasped yet. I think that this past 3 days we saw an illustration of it takes a village. Actually, we've seen play out in front of us the opposite of it takes a village, but it's a good learning lesson that I want us to think about. The gas situation and people getting in fist fights over filling up their car with gasoline and worried that they're not going to get the gas, so piling into the lines, being rude, filling up containers and all this that they don't really even need right now, out of fear and anger. Maybe some of us in here today were in that group. I'm glad you came to church today for some peace, peace in your life. Let me tell you what it takes a village means. It takes a village means you can have my gas. You can cut in front of me in line. That's what it takes a village means. I need gas. I need to go to work. I need to go to church. I need to go home. But you can have my gas. If you really want to be like Jesus, you'll walk everywhere anyway, right? Jesus took a donkey. Come on. So, I want to just allow that to, you know, wrestle with that a little bit mentally, internally. How you dealt with that situation, and then maybe where Jesus would be calling you or wanting you to grow in this area of it takes a village. Where you have valid concern, valid needs, but when you're a part of a village, you share in those burdens. You carry each other's weight, and you're not alone. So you can allow other people to have what you have because you know you're part of a village, and your needs are going to be met by God anyway, and He's going to take care of you, so you can have that mindset. Now, I don't know when this gas situation is really going to be officially over yet. I know there's a lot of places that still don't have gasoline. Thank you for having the courage to get to church today and not use that as an excuse not to come to church and then go to the lake later, you know, or go to the river later, whatever, you know. I got to save my gas for the lake, Thank you for getting here today. Come on, give yourself a hand on that one. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Acts 2 is a text, and the whole book of Acts is a text that we will always go to over and over and over again, because in the book of Acts is the history of the church. It is how the church first started, and it's how they operated, and you see examples of how to have church life in the book of Acts. It's what's called an historical book. It was written by a doctor. His name was Luke. He's the same one that wrote the Gospel of Luke. And he writes this historical case of how the first church started. And so in the second chapter, the very beginning of the book, we see how the first church actually starts. The Spirit of God is poured out upon all the people, and then they begin to live normal, a new normal life as a family, as a fellowship, as a village. And Acts 2:42 says that they devoted themselves to four things. This first church devoted themselves to four things. The first was the apostles' teaching. That's the teachings of Jesus, basically. The second thing was fellowship, hanging out together, village. They were devoted to the village lifestyle and model. The third thing they devoted themselves was related to that. They devoted themselves to eating meals together, including the Lord's Supper, which we will gather again on the first Wednesday. That's this coming Wednesday night. And we'll partake in the Lord's Supper together, communion. So come join us on Wednesday night for that. But they devoted themselves to Jesus' teaching, the fellowship, sharing in meals, and prayer. That's a big one right there, devoting yourself to prayer. But for the sake of this series, we've been focusing on those two in the middle. Devoted to fellowship, devoted to the family, devoted to the village, the communion of saints or people in the church, devoted to having a community together where we are unwavering about it. We are resolute about it. So there's many excuses not to be in a village, not to be in family together. Maybe you were suffering from a past where you were done wrong by a church or by a people group or whatever, and so you're now struggling with taking the risk of getting back involved somewhere. Maybe you just don't have the personality. You just don't like people, basically. You like to be by yourself. I'm good. I don't need anybody. You know, I'm good. It could be that you are new to the area. You just don't know people, and you're brand new, and you're just starting out fresh. There's many different legitimate hurdles in order to not be in fellowship, not be in community. But this is what I want to urge you and challenge you with, and that is to devote yourself to it. Meaning that when a hurdle comes up, you will first of all pray that the Spirit of God will give you the strength and the willpower and the courage to charge after that hurdle, and then you will just take some good old gumption, as my mom would say, some gumption, some grit, and make it happen. Come hell or high water, we're going to get together. We're going to get together. We're going to fellowship with each other. We're not going to let anything get in the way. We're going to be devoted to that. So today I want to show you one way that this amazing concept will bring some relief, some confidence, some comfort to a very challenging part of life. It's a part of life that often sends chills down the spine of people. We don't want to talk about it. It's a challenging thing. It'll freak people out. It makes us go into denial. We make excuses not to do it or whatever. What am I talking about? What is he talking about? I'm talking about your calling, your mission. What has God called you to accomplish? First of all, did you know that God is calling you to accomplish something? And if you're here today and you didn't realize that you could be used by God, then I want you to just receive that truth today. Maybe that's the first thing you need to just grab a hold of today, is that God is calling you to be on a mission. That everybody that is breathing and living is a missionary. You may not go live in the jungle. You may not go live in the desert. You may live in Kyle. That's your mission field. Your mission field, Texas State. Your mission field, San Marcos High School. Wherever you are, you're a missionary. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you on mission? Ask them. Go ahead. Ask them. Make them uncomfortable. I'm asking everybody online today, are you on mission? Are you on mission? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's like, I don't want to be on mission. I'm trying to make my rent payment this month. Come on. I'm not talking about, I know some of y'all got that mission to eat all 25 wings at Pluckers, try to get your picture on the wall. Will's done it. Come on now. How many days did you pay for it afterwards? That's what we all don't want to know about. We don't want to know about that part. Are you on mission from God? So we get the Great Commission from Matthew 28. Look at this scripture up on the screen as a paraphrase, but this is the mission that God has called us to go to all people groups, all regions. I just want you to think about Central Texas right now, from Buda to New Braunfels, Lockhart to Wimberley, and everything in the middle. All people groups. University students, Rancho Vista, Steeplechase, Blanco Vista, all the different burgs and villes and all the stuff in between. All people groups, go to them all and make disciples. That making disciples is really the only command, the only mission here. It tells us who to make disciples of, all people groups. And then it tells us how to do it. We do it by baptizing them into the fullness of who God is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Immersing them fully into a new identity in God. A new name. And that is a water baptism that we celebrate. And we'll baptize anybody in here today in water baptism. But it's even further than that. It's a full lifestyle immersion. It's a full identity immersion into who God is. And then, after we are immersed into who God is making us to be, our identity, then we can begin to obey Jesus after we have this new identity. So that is what we have been called to do. You might think, well, yeah, Pastor, that's your job. You know, that's what you do. That's why you're here. Yes, that is why I'm here. That is what I do, but you are too. Everybody in here participates in this in some way. You might not ever preach a sermon, you might not ever lead a Bible study, but in the way you work your job, in the way you love your neighbor, in the way you lead your family, in the way you coach a little league, right? How many know there's a sinful way to coach a little league? And be a parent in the stands. Just praying for all the little league parents out there right now. Be a good example up in the stands. All right, let's keep on moving. No matter where you are, where you're going, you can participate in this mission from God. And I want to just release you to walk in that mission. I want to empower you today to walk in that mission. And I want you to feel some responsibility. I want you to feel a little bit of the heaviness. That's important. It can be very intimidating, though. And so this is what happens when people hear this over and over and over, and they don't really see any results. They start making excuses of why they don't do it, because they're not this personality type or whatever. They don't have the experience or the skills or whatever. And you can start denying it. You can start avoiding it or whatever. I want to show you today what Jesus says to empower you to do it and to equip you to do this. John 17 and 18, we're going to read verses 18 through 20 first. Jesus is praying a prayer, and this is what he says. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. So what he's saying there is that we're going to be made holy through him, Jesus, so that we will be ready to do this job he's giving us. He's sending us. I am praying not only for these disciples, the ones in front of him, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So everybody in here today, everybody watching online today is included in this prayer. We are being sent by Jesus himself into the world. Now that's the heavy part. We are being sent on mission. Each and every one of us is to be on mission from God to participate in the building of his kingdom. On mission from God. So if you don't know this, if you just thought that you got a free pass because you're not a preacher or a pastor or a singer or whatever, that's a churchy type person, that this is a new revelation for some folks, illumination here, that as a human being that is putting their faith and trust in Jesus, he is now sending you as his representative into the world. And this is all throughout Jesus' teaching. The very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he talks to us about being the salt and the light, going out making a difference in the world. But look what he says in the very next verse. He says, I pray that they will all be what? One. Pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that. If you've got the Bible there with you, you highlight that, underline it. That's the crux of the message here today. So that. Isn't that a weird crux? Isn't that a weird set of words to be the most important part of the whole text? But may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Jesus prays that we will be one. What he means by that is fellowship, devoted, village, community, unity, oneness, that we will be together. Now, being in community with the church doesn't mean you come into the same building once a week and then leave and come back the next week. You can come into a building and not be in community. You could be in a crowd and be alone, basically, is what this is talking about. So what this is saying is you exposing yourself, you know, your time, your schedule, that's a huge one, right? That's a huge hurdle that many of us face. Our schedule's just so tight. It's so busy. But that means to be one doesn't mean you're just in the same gathering or the same group, but it means that you're making yourself available, meeting people. That's why we do Name Tag Sunday. Many of you have name tags on so we can get to know you, first name basis, and then we'll go from there. Let's start getting connected. And if this is your first time at Promised Land, we don't do that every week, but we do it the first week of the month, just kind of a catch-up in case you've seen somebody for a while and you forgot their name. Okay, here's a cheat sheet right here. You can remember their name very quickly. And start getting to know one another. We got to mix and mingle and talk and share and spend time. Share meals with one another. Eat with one another. Get connected in fellowship. Because look what he says. We do all that so that the world, that means people on the outside, people that don't believe in Jesus, people that believe that religion is horrible, people that don't understand anything about Christianity, people on the outside, the only way that they will ever believe that Jesus is legit is if we, the people that are lovers of him, would be united together. So our unity is not just for us to come together, sing kumbaya around the fireplace. It's not just to make us feel warm inside. It's not just for us to have friends. I mean, those are all fringe benefits that come along beside it. Those are all good kickbacks that come. But the main reason why he's calling us to become one with each other is so that the world will believe the message. If we go to the world, this has been happening for generation after generation, trying to preach something without the church being one, then the message is unbelievable. It's not to be believed. But when anyone, people that were not raised around this, don't know anything about it, people that are atheist, agnostic, that use things to prove that the church is not real, that Jesus didn't exist, all that kind of stuff, it doesn't really matter who they are. When they're exposed to authentic oneness and love from the church, that message is intoxicating and believable. And it's contagious, it's exciting, it is enticing. It is the message that Jesus says, if an unbeliever is to start believing that Jesus Christ was here in the flesh to deliver us from our sin, if they are truly to believe that, the vehicle for them to believe that is our unity. It's our oneness. He goes on, John 17, John 13. He goes, this is kind of going back in the book, but it's going a little deeper in the concept. John 13, 35, he says, your love for one another will prove. That's a great word. Will prove. That's a very heavy word, a very authoritative word, right? Your love for one another will prove. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want to be effective. It will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I'm going a little bit out of order, but if you will, Heather, go back to this statement. Being in community with others gives us the ultimate resource and confidence to be on mission. To be on a mission. Look at this statement for a second. Being in community with others gives us the ultimate resource that you need. So when you go to do a job, you need resources. You need tools. You need equipment. You need materials. You need skills and knowledge. Somebody that knows what they're doing, right? To do a job, that's what you've got to have. So God's put us on mission to reach the world. You got to have resources to do that. You got to have knowledge to do that. You got to have experience to do that. You got to have some equipment to do that. Yesterday, there was several of us that went to fix a fence that had been damaged by the winds last weekend, and we got out there. We had to have tools to get it done. Saws, drills, screws, hammers, levels, concrete. We had to have wood. We had to have people that knew how to use that stuff. Right? It doesn't just go by itself. It's got to have people, know-how, teamwork, and all that kind of stuff. So we began to work together using the tools to accomplish the task and had a wonderful time doing it. It was a fun time doing it. And so the same is the case for the work of God, the mission that God has called you on. It's intimidating to think about you making a difference at work. You know, at families, functions, in the neighborhood, you've got, man, in our neighborhood, we've had all kind of people live on our street, and God has called us to be the light on that street and to and to help people on that street. And thankfully, he's moved some of them out of the street. I'm just going to be honest with you right now. Whew. I don't think anybody's on split rail in here. But anyway, we've had some amazing experiences with people on our street being on mission. It's been difficult. It's been difficult. But God has used our family in some powerful ways. One family in our street was Muslim, and we were able to connect with them and show them the love of Jesus that was transformational in their life. Anyway, it's intimidating, though, sometimes to think about how could I reach somebody that doesn't know, that was maybe obstinate against the faith or whatever. Here's the deal. In community, you will find the resources that you need to do the job God's called you to do. And I could go on and on about what different resources are, bullet points, but they're the knowledge on how to do it, what to say, when to say it, when not to say anything at all, how to connect with somebody, how to help someone, how to love on somebody, all the resources that you need. We all have different values in here from valuable tools from God, like the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And the scripture I read last week was Ephesians 4, talking about us being fitly joined together as one body. And everybody in here is a different body part. Some of you are ears, eyes, legs, toes, other body parts. We're all parts in here. By yourself, if you're the pinky, and you're a pinky disconnected from the body on the ground, you are worthless. But when you're connected, you've got the blood flowing, you're connected to the ligaments and the joints, the tendons, the bones, you're getting oxygen, so you're thriving. Disconnected from the body, the part dies. But connected to the body, the part is going to live. But then, this is the awesome part, the part can be on mission. It can actually be used when it's connected to the body. And so you start getting the resources you need, the oxygen, the blood flow, the nutrients, fresh life is coming when you're connected to the body. That's what he is saying in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Read that last week, talking about us being fitly joined together. So I am bringing something to the table, but I'm not everything. I don't know everything. I have a lot of experience, but there's some big gaps that I'm missing. Everybody else, the same thing. You've got experience, talents, abilities, gifts, passions, things that you're just like, this is what we need to be doing over here. This is what we need to be doing. Yeah, you're both right. We need to be doing, and you're bringing that, and you're bringing that, and you're bringing the know-how for this, and they're bringing the know-how for that, and we're all fitly joined together so that the body is being effective and working. And then a confidence comes because you're not by yourself. And you're actually equipped to do what God has called you to do because you're connected in community and you're confident. And your love for one another, let's go back to John 13. Your love for one another will prove to the world outside who you are as a person. Not the ability to look a certain way, dress a certain way, have your hair fixed a certain way. It's not it. Not how much money you have. Not the kind of job that you have. That's not the number one identifying factor to prove that you're a disciple. How many email forwards you send about if you don't love Jesus, you won't forward this email. That does not prove that you're a disciple. How many times you post the things on your Facebook wall. That does not prove that you're a disciple. I just hurt some feelings in here today. I'm sorry. What do you say? Sorry, not sorry. Anyway. The way you prove it is your love for one another. Your love for one another is this beacon of light to a dark world. It is the identifying factor that promotes Jesus. So if you're here today and you're ready to be on mission, you're ready to follow what God has called you to do, the number one thing I want you to focus on is being devoted to fellowship, being devoted to connecting with other believers. Bible study's going to come. We'll teach you the Bible. We'll teach you how to pray. We'll teach you how to connect with people outside too. All you need to focus on right now is connecting with other believers. That's first step, all right? If you're here and you have not yet been to what we call our Next Steps night, that will be today. Today, 5 o'clock, we have our Next Steps session where we will be eating together, a home-cooked meal, and bring your kids. We're going to have a meal together. We're going to break bread together and share a meal together, get to know one another here at the church in the student center. Come on at 5 o'clock, and then we're going to spend a couple hours getting to know each other, and we're going to lead you through it. And there's going to be several other people in the room that are just like you that don't know anybody else, and we're going to make it easy for you. You're not going to have to make any speeches or do anything like that. Just show up, and we want to help you get connected to other people. And we'll show you how it is, and it's really not as difficult as you might think. All right, the other thing I want to share with you is there's a few people in here today that have been around for a while that might be interested in actually leading a small group this coming semester. So next week when you get here, we're going to have a list of all these different small groups that are going on. These are great opportunities for you to connect with other people. Maybe you've been here for a while and you know what? You got something you are interested in, a Bible study, a book you've read, something, and you could gather 3 or 4 or 5 people in a, you know, at your house, at a coffee shop, here at the church, wherever. And just gather 3-4 times a month and connect with each other. If that's you, if you're interested in that, there's a card in the seat in front of you that you can grab and you can fill out and put it in the offering plate as it goes by. Just give us some information and Will and Tabitha will connect with you this week and show you what to do, how you do it. All right, would you bow your heads with me right now? Let's pray. I first of all want to pray with everybody in here that is interested in starting a relationship with Jesus. You're far from Him now. You want to be close to Him. As I've been talking, you felt like you're on the outside looking in. Everybody else is kind of on the same page. You're on a different page, and you're ready to respond to Jesus. Right now, let's respond to Him with our attention, with our humility. And let's just go to Him. You can say the words I'm saying, or you can use your own words. I'm going to pray very slowly. You can use your own words. You can say what I'm saying. Well, let's just pray from our heart right now. And the first thing that we're going to do is just say, Lord Jesus, I welcome you into my life right now. I welcome you into my life. Come into my life, Lord. I humbly submit myself to you. I bow before you. I submit myself to you today. And I welcome you in, Lord. I welcome you into my life. Please forgive me of my sin. I realize, God, that I've done things that are not right, not good. And I realize that you, Jesus Christ, are my Savior. You can bring salvation to me right now. Come, Lord Jesus, into my life. I trust you as my Savior. I trust you as my provider. I trust you as my protector. And I make myself open and available to you. Fill me with your Spirit, God. Baptize me with your Spirit. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, Lord, may I be yours. 100%. Now let's all join in and let's talk about our devotion to one another, our fellowship with one another. And I know that as I was speaking today, some of you have some legitimate reasons why you can't really connect with other people. And so let's just give those to God right now. I don't expect you to have them all solved by the time you walk out of these doors, but let's just hand them over to God. God, we give you our excuses today. We give you our reasons today. Lord, may we walk with courage. May we walk with tenacity toward you and each other. God, I pray that we would be devoted to fellowship, devoted to sharing meals together, that we would be connected and one, God, as you are one, that we would not have division, but we would have unity, that we would surrender our will to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.